It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we'll talk about the disagreement between the Ho-Chunk and the Stockbridge-Muncie community over a casino expansion in Shawano County. First, the United States dropped the largest non-nuclear bomb in its arsenal on an ISIS stronghold in eastern Afghanistan yesterday. Here's White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer announcing the strike.
At around 7 p.m. local time in Afghanistan last night, the United States military used a GBU-43 weapon in Afghanistan. The GBU-43 is a large, powerful, and accurately delivered weapon. We targeted a system of tunnels and caves that ISIS fighters used to move around freely, making it easier for them to target U.S. military advisors and Afghan forces in the area. The United States takes the fight against ISIS very seriously, and in order to defeat the group, we must deny them operational space, which we did. The United States took all precautions necessary to prevent civilian casualties and collateral damage as a result of the operation.
The offensive comes just days after the U.S. launched a retaliatory missile strike against a Syrian airbase from which Syrian planes had attacked civilians with banned chemical weapons. Saeed Khan joins us now. He's a lecturer in Near East and Asian Studies at Wayne State University. Saeed, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me back.
Well, in your words, Saeed, can you tell us what happened yesterday?
Well, basically what happened, as the reports leading up were mentioning, this was the largest non-nuclear ordnance in the American arsenal, a bomb which weighs 10.5 tons, or roughly 21,000 pounds. And it is a bomb that actually was so large that it had to be dropped from a cargo plane, an American C-130 transport plane, and it explodes just above the ground, and it is a concussive device which obliterates everything up to 1,000 yards. Up to 1 mile, it knocks down all people, tents, light buildings, cars, and jeeps. Up to 1.7 miles, the shockwave can kill people and cause severe damage to buildings and equipment to the point where it can blow trucks and tanks right off the road. Up to 2 miles, it can shatter eardrums and cause deafness. Up to 5 miles away, it can break windows and shake the ground. And a 10,000-foot mushroom cloud can be seen up to 30 miles away. The target ostensibly was tunnels that are used by ISIS-K, and the K stands for Khorasan, which means it's Central Asian branch.
Now, as I understand it, an earlier model of this bomb was built in 2003, intended to be used in the war in Iraq, but it was not used, not until yesterday. So why use it now?
Well, that's, of course, the big question that everyone is asking, is that at this particular moment, and what seems to be a rather improbable location, why would the U.S. Military deploy it here? And I think that there's a couple of things that we can go ahead and try to explore. One, the remoteness, relatively speaking, of this area, and taking the military and the Afghans on the ground at their word, there were no civilian casualties that have been reported so far, and yet at the same time, it was an ISIS target. So what it shows is, first of all, that ISIS is operating outside Iraq and Syria, which is, of course, the epicenter. And so this could be seen as a way to make sure that we can contain ISIS into that part of the Middle East. At the same time, of course, we have to go ahead and concede that the fact that there is, according to military intelligence, a presence of ISIS in Afghanistan is troubling because it is now metastasized. And, of course, it also then brings back this entire narrative that the United States is going back into Afghanistan. But I think we have to also consider to whom is a message being sent with such a large munition. And given its capacity of being able to, again, ostensibly target underground tunnels, as in this case, it is a kind of weapon that could be used to ferret nuclear programs, which for many countries are underground, like in the case of North Korea.
Do we know whether the United States has achieved its military goals with this strike?
There is no evidence of that, and part of it, of course, is going to be how the United States or its allies in the area can even reach the particular area and can go ahead and make an assessment of what was there prior to the explosion and what is there now. After all, if the stated goal was to try to reach and neutralize underground tunnels, well, that's something that cannot be seen even from our most sophisticated spy satellites because they are underground. So it's going to be a real question to see how then the military is going to explain what is its metric of success in this particular campaign.
And President Trump hasn't explicitly said that he authorized this strike, but here's what he did say.
We are so proud of our military, and it was another successful event.
Did you authorize it, sir?
Everybody knows exactly what happened, so... And what I do is I authorize my military. We have the greatest military in the world, and they've done a job as usual. So we have given them total authorization, and that's what they're doing. And frankly, that's why they've been so successful lately.
Syed, what do you make of that response? He authorized the military, not expressly the strike itself.
Well, that's really strange, given that the president has a penchant for taking credit for everything, especially the more grandiose that it is. And I think it's important to remember that during his campaign, he was certainly one to talk in very, very exaggerated terms about how he wanted to bomb the expletive deleted out of ISIS. So this is clearly an example of him doing so, and I'm sure that he will probably mention this on the campaign trail. But as far as how the military itself is involved, this seems to be a decision that was made primarily by the military, those who are coordinating the strikes in Afghanistan itself out of the Pentagon. But clearly, as commander-in-chief, he would have had to have given the full authorization. Whether he did so for this specific munition, that still seems to be a bit ambiguous.
Syed Khan is with us right now from Wayne State University talking about the U.S. strike against ISIS in eastern Afghanistan yesterday. And Syed, how unusual is it for a president to say what President Trump did in this case, that he did not authorize the strike?
Well, again, I think what we're dealing with here is nuance. The president wants to be very clear that he is not opening up a brand new theater of Afghanistan, because after all, one of his prior statements and criticisms of then-President Obama was the former president's military involvement in so many different arenas. And so it's ironic now that all of the places where the United States was under the Obama administration and what had been President Trump's pledge to become a little bit more isolationist has in fact changed dramatically, particularly over the last couple of weeks. The fact that the United States has had strikes in Iraq, Syria, and now Afghanistan show that the U.S. is re-engaged in those arenas, and yet at the same time it seems as though President Trump is conflicted about whether he wants to in fact admit that we are now again back in Afghanistan.
So given that there has been this re-engagement, does it represent an escalation or just a change in course in terms of President Trump's foreign policy as regards maybe isolationism?
Well, clearly, I mean, with the incident in Syria last week of bombing the air base as a response to the chemical weapons strike in Syria, with added engagement in Iraq, and now in the case of Afghanistan, one cannot go ahead and deny that the American military presence is re-engaged, and some would argue would never really left the battlefield. At the same time, I think what we have here with President Trump is a conflict of trying to align campaign rhetoric with statesman rhetoric, going from isolationism to now a more robust global policeman posture. At the same time, we don't know how much further he will go in Afghanistan. Right now, there does not seem to be any real word coming out of the Pentagon for the redeployment of troops. In Syria, there are rumblings about whether or not there's going to be the dispatching of ground troops, but nothing has been concretized yet. And the same is in Iraq. If these issues can be handled through airstrikes, whether those are are drones which have persisted now for several years, or from these shock and awe measures, that seems to be the more willing comfort zone for the president than getting into another quagmire as what he criticized his predecessor for having been and putting the United States into.
There have been reports that President Trump is giving more latitude to military leaders in various spots of engagement around the world. Have we seen that playing out, and how might that differ from what we've seen so far?
Well, that would explain why President Trump is a little bit reticent to go ahead and take full credit for the deployment of the Moab bomb in Afghanistan. It seems as though these decisions are being made and the deferment to the military, to the Pentagon, whether in Northern Virginia or out in the field, is part of the foreign policy strategy right now. It seems as though for President Trump, these are matters that he does not want to micromanage, and he wants to leave it to the experts, at least right now, in deploying the U.S. military where it's going.
Saeed, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Saeed Khan is a lecturer in Near East and Asian Studies at Wayne State University. He joined us to talk about the U.S. strike against ISIS in Afghanistan.